go right ahead.
I'd like to call to order the January 8th, 2025 meeting of the Planning and Zoning Commission. No one by phone, right? All right.
Well, Byron, I motion that we excuse Jim Duggan from this meeting. Dugan?
I'll second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you, Joe. All righty. As far as the agenda for this evening, I assume you guys have reviewed. Any comments, questions? All right.
Motion to adopt the agenda as we have it.
Do I have a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. All right, as far as minutes from last meeting, everyone have a chance to review the minutes?
Mm-hmm.
Any comments, questions? Okay, do I have a motion to accept?
I'll make a move to accept the minutes.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay, thank you. All righty, so I assume we have no public comments?
No, sir, not today.
Okay. All righty, this is this annual event that we need to do from a housekeeping standpoint, and that is to elect chairperson and vice chairperson. We'll do the same when we get into the HPC agenda later this evening. Any comments, questions?
I think it's been working pretty good the way we have it now.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy being in the chairperson role. I certainly very much enjoy working with Joe in the vice chair role, and you know, would like to continue to keep things as is if you all are fine with that.
Yep.
So I motion we keep Byron Ashbridge as the chair of the PZC.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. And then I'd like to make a motion to keep Joe Barlock as the vice chair.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All right. New business, and I think Joe discovered this, but we have kind of a discrepancy from the standpoint of the term limit kind of issue from a standpoint of, is it both PZ, like planning and zoning and HPC syncing up? Is that kind of the gist of it?
Per the Curie Beach Code, PZC has a 5-year term, but HPC has a 3-year term. But it also says that members of the PZC are members of the HPC.
Right.
So your 3-year term could run out, but you're still a member because you're a member in the PZC. So they should both, I believe, either both be 3 or both be 5.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's never going to agree.
Yeah. And then Mandy Beth, I mean, do you have any history on this as to why there may have been a reason to have it different?
That was what the HPC had decided when the board was, or the commission was formed, to do 3. And I agree, it doesn't make sense to have that be 3 and planning zoning be 5 and then the same members. So something needs to be corrected from my standpoint.
A little bit of the background, it was primarily because council at that time was not quite sure about the HPC. And so they kind of wanted to run it where it cycles over a little bit quicker, I think. But I agree. Now it kind of makes more sense to have it for 5 years.
One comment.
Yes, sir.
Two comments. Council's going to have to approve anything you recommend, but more importantly, the authorizing statute for Historic Preservation Commission stipulates that no term should be greater than 4 years.
Maybe that's why we did 3 years.
So that we need to change P&Z to be 4, Jim?
Well, that's up to council.
But like my problem is in the code, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, if you read both, how can you be on HBC for 4 and you serve on P&Z for 5, but the HBC, or the P&Z is actually the HBC?
Yes, in a way it's re-advertised at the end of the term. Or
so I feel like they have to be, I agree with Joe completely, they have to be the same amount of years.
Well, they have to be, and I don't care what the term of years is. I'm just saying HPC cannot be greater than 4. The statute for planning board doesn't stipulate the length of the term.
Mm-hmm.
Right, so drop planning and zoning to 4. What is planning and zoning now?
5 now.
Five.
So you could recommend the council to drop it to 4.
Both of them are four. One
and
HPC go up to four.
Put that on the agenda fire and can present it. It can be done in January.
And Jim, is that, I mean, that's formalized, you know, in writing, you know, that kind of stuff? I mean, that's something
it's an amendment we have to make.
Yeah,
yeah, I guess we have to make the text amendment. Yeah.
And it will mean some of their terms are complete. I'll have to look at exactly whose it is. I know off the top of my head, Member Galbraith's term is up on DNC. I know his, but I'm not sure about the others.
And one point on that, person sitting in the seat whose term is ended stays in that seat until a successor is appointed, regardless of the expiration of the term.
Okay. Now, to clarify, do they have to reapply, Jim?
Or if they reach the end of their term, yeah.
And they get re-interviewed by council?
Yeah, I think that'd be rather perfunctory at that aspect of the dealing, but yeah, they have to go through the whole thing.
Does it have to be... Yeah, since I'm the one going up, I guess, for P&Z.
Yeah, I can tell you in a minute if there's anyone else. I can't remember exactly here.
I mean, I just wonder if it needed to be advertised if you're interested in staying on it.
That's what I'm trying to figure out.
And I mean, that seems a little awkward, to be honest.
And, and then your term is inclusive of your time as an alternate?
Jim Dugan's term is up. If it's 4 years, going off 4 years, his term would be up too.
Mm-hmm. Is an alternate a member of the PZC? I think it is. I mean, same
I'm sorry, say that again?
Yeah.
Same terms for alternate members?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And the vacancy, the interviews and the appointments, that's not by statute, that's town policy.
Yeah, that's town policy. That's what I was wondering. So but when their term is up, the town clerk then advertise. They would reapply, they would be re-interviewed by P&Z, then re-interviewed by town council and appointed, correct?
Upon PZC's recommendation,
okay.
That's right.
Okay, so it would be Jim Dugan and Craig Galbraith. Those are the only two.
So the
Byron would be in November of this year.
And Joe would be before me.
I should be before him.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, Joe too. Joe and Byron would be November.
How long have I been on the commission?
Forever.
Forever.
I think 2008.
Okay.
Wow. That is a long time.
Yeah.
So,
I can't speak for how the clerks did it before.
Yeah. And so just know, so we know what to expect here. So we have two members that need to go through the process. So the other three members of Planning and Zoning interview the two current members that are
correct.
Having to reapply?
Because that's a forum for the commission. So you would re-interview, and then obviously any other applicants received, you would interview, and then you would recommend, and then council would interview at the point.
Okay.
So just to sum up...
But obviously we've got to clarify first, yeah, the 4 year. We need to change that.
Because never done it that way. You know, I can see if that's maybe the formal way of doing it, but we've never done it that way. So just
to check with Madam Clerk, we're moving forward with a text amendment for council to consider this month on changing PZC to 4 years.
And HPC to 4 years.
And HPC from 3 to 4.
Well, we'll talk about that in the HPC meeting, right?
PZC to 4.
I guess you're right. Technically, yeah.
They need to hear, Jim.
Do you need a motion for that?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, well, I'll make a motion that we recommend to council changing the term limit for planning and zoning from 5 years to 4 years.
Do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And I just recommend you stay in your seats, and then we'll handle it once town council changes the term 1 year. And then we'll re-advertise and start the process. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So for February, for next month, for our hearings, all that will stay the same.
Okay.
Keep it simple. Yeah, it's fine.
All right. So, Jim, you'll work on the text amendment. And,
yes, sir. I'll get it on council's agenda.
Okay. Thank you, sir. All righty. Other item under new...
question. Do you happen to have the citation to the code for that particular provision? I can find it.
I included it in the agenda packet.
Yeah, and I
like
it.
It's
1204-0110. Yeah.
1204.
Yeah, 1204-0110. 1-10.
Mm-hmm. 0-10?
0-10.
Yep.
Thank you.
All righty, the second item under new business is review and report on KBC Chapter 11. This is Member Bartlett.
I'm back. All right, we've got, Chapter 11 has 28 pages, but everything in here is syntactical, which I'm not going to go through all of them, except for 10 comments that I'd like to bring our attention to and discuss those 10 comments, if that's a good way to proceed.
Sorry, Jim, I forgot to put that up. Probably not.
It's upside down.
Do I need to have it on? All right, I'm ready.
Okay. All right, the first comment to discuss is on page 5.
Your page 5, right?
Page 5 in the agenda pages. It's an easy one. 1102.040 alpha 1. I deleted the sentence. This subsection shall be applicable to all development on or abutting ocean beaches within the town. This entire section of permits has to do with the entire town. So the statement of saying the subsection applies to abutting the ocean beaches seems like it limits the section to that. I don't see why we need to make that statement.
Is redundant.
Yes, so deleted. The next thing is on page 6, in the middle of the page, item C. That's not on the fee schedule.
Let me make some comments about that for a minute, if I may. I was thinking of, let's back up and talk about a few things, because I have a recommendation about these fee schedule issues that come up all the time. Technically, there's review 1 month and action the next month. And ideally, and most of the time, what is decided upon in the discussion stage is what gets acted on in the action stage. What we have ended up doing practically for all these syntacticals is when we get to the, we always end up with these fee schedule issues. And we end up with them during the discussion phase. And a lot of times they require additional research and additional drafting. So when we bring it back at the action stage, sometimes we have to revise it further so that most of the time when we're approving text amendments in the action meeting, the second meeting, we're actually doing that with instructions to council to make some changes. In other words, you adopt the text amendments conditioned on Eldridge making these additional changes. That's not efficient, and it's also risky is too strong a word. But it's, and you all may know this, when you're dealing with things like this, it's easy to lose your thread if you don't stay on it the whole time. So my suggestion about fee schedules is this, Joe. When you run across a fee schedule issue, I would pick up the phone and talk to Arlen and find out a couple of things. Is your observation correct, or has it been superseded by some other development that hasn't been set forth and that the ordinance doesn't capture? For example, I don't remember the specifics, but there was something about tickets that was in the ordinance, the civil penalty for tickets versus what the paid parking program ended up insisting upon. So perhaps when Joe's working on these things, a quick call to Arlen might clarify things or at least help Joe frame some proper text if needed for that part of the ordinance. The other thing that I would ask Arlen is whether or not, for example, you find something that the ordinance notes, but clearly it's not on the fee schedule, and after talking to Arlen, clearly it should be, then my next question to Arlen would be, do we need to bring this in front of council, or can we just add it? And that might be a more efficient way of going rather than having this discussion, ending up with all these fee issues, kicking them to me to do those follow-up steps with Garland. That's kind of an expensive way of getting to the same result. So that's just a recommendation I have about how to handle fee schedule issues.
I have no problem with that.
Yeah, it might speed things up.
Good.
Okay, from now on I will call Arlen on every fee schedule issue. So this is the first one I'll get in touch with Arlen on.
So that raises an issue. Are we coming back one more time with discussion? There's probably three or four fee schedule things you're going to follow up with them on Chapter 11. Should we plan on coming back for discussion one more time before action? In other words, discussion in February, action in March.
I think we should, because I haven't talked to Arlen yet, and I don't know if he's going to like that approach or not. So.
Yeah, and I think it just makes things easier and cleaner.
And then
that'll be in March, because we were talking about not having a February meeting.
Yeah, my recommendation is going to be cancel the February meeting. We have the COA, and it starts at 6:30.
Yeah, I'm not sure that COA is going to go forward in February, but we'll see.
Bethany think it will. Me and Bethany think strongly that it will.
Okay. Bethany saw my email to Bethany?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I emailed you
Bethany. He emailed back. Mm-hmm. He had everything. He just didn't realize.
Yeah, we didn't want to see this prematurely in case something important came up that we really did need to deal with in February, but it sounds like this is something that could easily be postponed.
Oh, yeah. Could go to March. Yeah. And maybe I'll have another one by then.
Okay. What's next?
Okay. Page 7, item number 4, this subsection shall become effective immediately upon its passage. Well, that was in 1999, so we're taking that item out. Page 8 is another fee schedule question, which I will talk to Arlen on.
What did you mean by the reference to 13, 14, 020? Well, I meant to look that up.
Well, this section that we're in here is special events. Mm-hmm. So it's basically saying if you litter during your special event, it's a $250 fine. But if I go on a beach any other day of the year and litter, it's a $25 fine. I just was wondering. Seems a little drastic.
14, 020 is a littering statute?
Yes. Yes, that's just for basic littering on the beach.
Yeah, I think Arlen can clear that up for you.
Okay, I will discuss it with him. Okay. The next is on page 12. And this is just a question. In the middle of page 12, 1108.030 says it's talking about the North Carolina State Building Code, the Uniform Residential Building Code for the town, is filed in the office of the town clerk. Is that correct, or is it in the building department?
I don't know. Usually these things are, when you run across a provision like this, it usually references the town clerk. But I don't know. Let me look at something. Let's look at, I was going to look at Chapter 11, but that's what we're dealing with. Somewhere, let's keep that open for right now.
Okay. We'll come back to that. I hope since we had the town clerk and the building department here, we might know who had it.
The whole North Carolina code, I would say, would be with the building. Yeah.
I mean, I have the code books. I don't know. Sometimes you guys have. Well, you know, you have the copy of ordinances and stuff.
We have the town
hall.
I don't know what you, but we don't have the North Carolina building code.
And it doesn't matter which one.
It's in town hall.
Yeah. Somewhere. Right, they need to identify a custodian. And it sounds like the books are with Ms. White. So that's what I would recommend.
Okay. So that's going to be changed to building department rather than town clerk.
Or you might want to say director of development and compliance.
Yeah, say file
the
office
of the
record
development. Got it. All right. The next one is on page 14. And I actually missed one or two fixes here, but item C, it says, if the inspector, building inspector, that's the way it reads right now. So we're going to get rid of the first inspector and change that just to, if the building inspector, capitalize the I in inspector, I'll take care of that. And I also made this new item D, which was part of item C before, and it seems like it's a completely different topic than item C. So I broke it out as D. It's talking about the community development target area as opposed to the structure being declared unsafe. So yeah. I just made it a new item.
Yeah, makes sense.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Okay. Page 15. On the bottom, item E. In the middle of the paragraph, it says, this is for an appeal. In writing to the building inspector and the town clerk within 10 days. But if you go to 1206040, which is what this is referencing, it gives 30 days for the appeal.
Yeah, you need to hang on a minute. I meant to look that up. That may be 1206040 certainly is one way to approach it, but when we're getting into condemned buildings, let me make a few comments. The general statutes provide, it's three or possibly four different statutory approaches to dealing with condemnation of buildings and dwellings that are unfit for human habitation. And it's very confusing because it's got these three or four different approaches. We use one exclusively here, but the code, our code provides for all three, since the statutes provide for all three. And they're all a little different, and we'll touch on that a little bit more in a minute. But let's see, this, let me get to it in the statutes, and we'll nail this one down. Building code enforcement. So this is unsafe buildings condemning localities. I apologize for not getting to this. Unsafe buildings condemning.
It's item C in 1206040.
Unsafe buildings condemned in certain description of unsafe buildings. Okay, now we're getting a little closer. It's 10 days by statute.
10 days by statute? Okay.
So, going back to your thing, we're going to leave the 10 days and take out the your yellow comment, right?
Oh, yeah, my comment will come out in the next review. And I think I want to add there the clerk within 10 days per general statute. So then if anybody questions it in the future, we'll know that's why it's different than 30.
Why don't we say per... Per article 11, comma, chapter 160D.
168?
Article 11, comma, chapter 160D is in David.
160. Okay. I will put that in there.
What's next?
Next is page 18.
This is the, if you look at 16 for a second, you see at the bottom 11-10-050-050, minimum housing code violation. This is of the three or four approaches that I mentioned a minute ago, this is the one that we use and that we have used at least twice in the last few years.
Okay, Jim. Okay. Page 18, Jim. Mm-hmm. It's just a little confusing because up on the top, the second line, it says, shall not be exercised until town council shall have, by ordinance, ordered the public officer to proceed. And all the way down this whole page, it talks about ordinance, per ordinance, per ordinance, per ordinance.
And that's a very specific ordinance that's required by Chapter 11. This is an example of one that we utilized recently for 205 Alabama. And the bottom line is you have some very strong remedies under Chapter 11 for, this one deals with residential dwellings unfit for human habitation. You have very strong remedies that go from repairing it, from closing the structure to repairing the structure to, condemning the structure, because it involves other people's property. There's heavy emphasis on the process. The bottom line is if you have an unresponsive owner and you finally have gotten to the point where you were authorized by statute to do something about it, the statutes require one more due process step, and that is for the self-help that the town's going to do, you have to pass an ordinance and report it in the registry of deeds. That's what you got in front of you.
Okay.
And it actually is very beneficial in that particular case. Fortunately, somebody came along that wanted to buy the property in its uninhabitable state. And by having that ordinance recorded, the town was able to recoup during the disbursement of proceeds in excess of $20,000 associated costs and old utility bills. So that's the ordinance that is being referred to.
Okay. There are no changes to all those question marks on that page. I will take that all out for our next review of this document.
Okay.
Clean it up. And the last item I have is on page 20. It says item 1110-080 for remedies. Such appeals will be heard and determined, it says now, by the Board of Adjustments in accordance with 1206-050. However, 1206-040 says that it goes to town council, and also 1110-030E says town council.
First of all, let's make sure we still in the minimum housing additional powers of public officer remedies. All right, hang on. I need to come back to that one. I need to study that a little bit more.
Okay.
So let's do this. We're going to bring it back for discussion in discussion number two in March.
In March. Okay. Mm-hmm.
I need to look at four or five different statutes to answer that question, and I forgot to do that for this meeting. If we can, I'll take care of that if you take care of the rest.
I'll take care of the rest and resend it to you. And then there was the other one on page 12 you need to relook at also.
Let me mark this one.
Come back. Or did we, I'm sorry, I think we determined that's going to be with the Office of the Director of Development and Compliance. Never mind.
Right.
Page 12 is clear.
All right, so I'll take care of 11-10-08.
Okay. And I'll get this done probably within a week and have it back to you, and you have plenty of time until March.
Okay. See, that went pretty smoothly. Thank you.
It did that. All right, well, that concludes our agenda for this evening. Anyone have anything else?
Don't I have something on this?
Mm-mm.
And we didn't carry that over?
We did not. So, Beth, we have, and Craig, did you identify the next area that you wanted to
yeah,
talk about?
Yeah, well, I talked about list. Solar panels. I had that for tonight, but if it's not on the agenda, that can certainly wait.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Beth, for the March agenda, if you would put Member Galbraith's item on solar panels?
Yeah, we'll just, I mean, just a few minor changes.
Yep. Okay. Don't worry. We'll wait and hold off and make sure the COA is going to go through, but I'll send an email if we cancel PND for March. I'm for February.
All right, so we're not going to make a motion here. We're going to wait.
It's not on the agenda.
Okay.
For what?
We're not going to actually cancel next month's meeting,
Okay.
And zoning meeting yet until we get confirmation that we have the COA. And then
I'll do it via email.
Okay. Okay.
That makes sense.
Okay. You're talking about canceling the PNC.
Yep.
Okay.
And that way we have a clear slate for the COA. We have to have a court reporter in
right,
there. They've
got
to do all the setup in advance and so forth.
Okay. Well, we have the COA scheduled for 6:30, so we could still have a PNC at 6.
Court reporter gets here at 6.
Okay. All right. That's fine. Okay. Yeah.
So, and again, if we had anything urgent, we would look at
alternatives. Yeah, I mean,
but
nothing urgent.
It sounds like we have no issues. So we'll wait to hear from Beth. So assume at this point February's on until we hear otherwise. Okay. All righty. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Okay. All in favor? Aye.
Aye. All right.